Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
May the force be with us.
So be it.
Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to Star Wars Hangout. I'm Ez.
And I'm Lottie.
And friends, we are back with Bad Batch Season 2, Episode 1 and 2. And let me just say, out the gate, initial thoughts, then we're going to get into spoiler discussion. My initial thoughts are, nothing is easy. Oh. Nothing is easy. I feel like I'm like stressed out. I feel like I got to like loosen up a little bit. It is 4 o'clock in the freaking morning. And we are up early recording this. Cannot thank Lottie enough because, I mean, she was up at the butt crack of dawn. It's not even dawn. I mean, it's like night.
It is.
Not even close.
It's going to be night for a while.
Yeah, sorry. So, but which we, hey, it's sort of our New Year's resolution. We're up early doing stuff and working on our content. And we decided to watch Bad Batch Season 2, Episodes 1 and 2. And it was great. Overall, really good start. I think some people might not think there's a lot in this, but we'll talk about that here in a second. What were your kind of just initial thoughts getting in this? We did a recap yesterday where we kind of went over Season 1 takeaways, some theories, some things with Mount Tantus, where we think it's all going, this transition from the clone trooper to the TK trooper and all that stuff. So, but just initially, first two episodes, what do you think? Seeing the Bad Batch back.
Oh, I loved how it started. The water, yeah. the scene, and we get great scenes. I mean, great animation. It's Star Wars, so
right.
And I was locked in because
yeah. What was that was a random planet they were on with the crabs when they started. Yeah, it was beautiful. It was the beach, right? And I think Wrecker said something like it was you expect the beach to be more relaxing or whatever, right? So yeah, so here we are. Yeah, we're full in spoiler discussion. That was. I thought, yeah, a good way to kind of start. They're still out because you jump right into the action and you're just out there and they're getting jobs done for Cid.
Yeah.
They've been out for a long time on this one, but that's just their daily lives.
Right.
They're just out there trying to make a living. And that came up today in episode 1. So we're going to be talking about these together. So episodes 1 and episode 2. There was a new individual. I think her name was Fee, is it? Or she was the one with her feet up on the desk when they went back to Cid's in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that was her name. Anyway, so she was there just checking in on them and had heard about the Bad Batch and was wanting to maybe hire them, I guess, or something. So that was kind of cool. But Cid really says that, hey, the money's going to run out. The Empire's right. They're going to get to the point where they're going to come and my operation's going to be done. You guys need to pull a heist like you've never pulled before.
Yeah.
And so they go to the most, I never thought this was going to be episode 1. Like we had Tales of the Jedi where you had a Count Dooku reference recently and we've got all this Count Dooku stuff.
Yeah.
And then now we go back to his homeworld, Sereno.
Yeah.
So we're there and I just couldn't believe we went there. You can actually see the shot of like his seat. You can see like the little lift that they take down. It was his whole palace and the war chest. And this is the intel that Cid gets from Fee, and it's sort of like, okay, now you have a chance to go make this one big heist, and it's everything. This could sort of change their lives forever. So is it worth it, though, sweetie? Is it worth the money?
Well, first of all, I thought, do they really want a different life and stop going on missions together? Because Omega clearly enjoys it. And
right.
That's what they've been doing for the for most of their lives. So,
it's the life that they're used to. I mean, now, right? I mean, Omega was in Kamino for so long, and just with Nala Se working there with the clones, that's all gone. They're destroyed. We learned at the end of this too that it's believed that they are gone. They've stayed off the Imperial radar, doing other missions, other jobs.
Yeah.
So this way of life that they live, it did seem like they wanted to kind of hold on to it, and they thought this is just the new normal. And Cid sort of saying, no, this is not it.
Yeah.
Echo, right? So Echo's the one who is sort of, he's got the, he can plug into machines and computers and right. stuff or whatever. He basically says several times that they need to use this war chest, not just for them, not just to live a normal life or whatever.
Yeah.
He thinks that's over. He thinks it's time to really like fight back against the Empire. You could give this to someone else. And so, yeah, it was an interesting dynamic between him, Hunter, Wrecker, and Tech. I thought Tech was going to die for a second. I thought they were ready to out the gate, but I was just like, it was close. I mean, nothing was easy in this, right? They were constantly being harassed by, what was his name, Captain Wilco was on them like crazy. So, yeah.
I mean, 150 kilogram box crushed his legs. Yeah. And he could still walk, so.
Yeah, I mean, they're superhuman. What I mean? They got some, yeah. Maybe it's the suit. I didn't see him. I was thinking he would just pull out some med pack and hit him
real quick
or something.
Yeah,
and they didn't do that. But same. That's okay. I do.
Maybe
I will.
He did, and we just didn't see it.
Yeah, maybe he did. Maybe they went back to Romar's house or whatever. Yeah. The old guy that you find on Sereno. Maybe he doctored him up. We didn't see it. But I will say this: nothing is. The reason I keep saying nothing is easy is because I felt like a lot of times you go on a mission, like the Bad Batch is so good.
Yeah.
They go in, they do their thing, all is well. They get their cargo, the loot, and they're out.
Yeah.
Things sometimes look tough, but then they make it, right?
Yeah.
That's how it started with the crabs on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And then this doesn't work.
Yeah.
And it's because there's a huge, they're not just going against a couple native crabs or this, you know, native population. They're going against the Empire.
Right.
And it's them versus the Empire. And they haven't done that since Bad Batch season one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot more difficult. That's a bigger sort of force to go against. And they need all hands on deck and they need a good plan. Remember when they were going in, you were like, this is the master plan.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, this is like, no, it didn't feel like. Didn't feel like
just
they had
grab
a really...
whatever you can and I'll hold them
off.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll set up a distraction in case we need it. You guys just go grab whatever and bring it on back. That was the plan.
Yeah.
So that didn't feel great. But you learned some cool stuff. I mean, Omega is now like training under Tech and learning and all of them, learning different things from each of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool because it feels like each of them is like passing on a piece of themselves to Omega, which to me means that like she's the future of this clone generation, and she is going to have all of their skills to some degree and understand, you know, a lot more. Like, Tech and then Hunter and then I think there's still a little bit of a mystery as to some of Hunter's powers and maybe what he could even pass on to her. And I say powers like abilities or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's highly, highly interesting. But the whole bit with Sereno is interesting. This is a separatist world. So, you know, during the Clone Wars, right, we talk about Count Dooku.
Mm-hmm.
They separated from the Republic.
Right.
And they're there just getting his palace of goods and money and all this stuff we saw in Andor, right? One of the big things was funding the operations, funding these different rebel cells. And you need that kind of money. The Empire is amassing a ton of it just by going here and claiming this war chest and claiming all this stuff from Dooku. And he was like the leader of a whole separatist movement where he either got goods or he got resources or items, precious, you know, artwork, whatever it might be, from different planets and his own people.
Yeah.
So there's tons of stuff there. I kept thinking they were going to find some ridiculous relic.
Okay.
You know, like some Jedi relic or some dark side thing. But it was really just a lot of loot. A lot of credits, a lot of jewels and gems. So, but Romar was interesting, wasn't he? The way he talked to Omega, he was kind of like telling her that this is not worth it, really.
Right.
And I thought for a second, maybe she just, why did she want the loot? Is it just all of a sudden she getting, not greedy, but, you know, anybody sees a big pot of gold, you're like, let's
go.
Right,
and she's just a kid, It's like an adventure still to her.
But it was something more, wasn't it? It was more that something Echo had said where it was this idea of it's her fault that they can't live this normal life.
Right.
And
she wanted to give back and she wanted to give them a normal life again.
Yeah. She wants to fix that and stuff. So anyway, I thought that was really touching and we understand why she goes back and she does what she does. But this was good. A good learning experience. Good way to dip back into Bad Batch and understand what is... what the stakes are, and I guess maybe what they're going to be getting into, because now, I mean, jump right to the end, you have this report filled out where Admiral Rampart, who is in season one, he's the guy who shows up in on Kamino, and he's sort of, He doesn't really like the clones very much. He's more in favor of the TK trooper, the stormtrooper.
Yeah.
And he wants conscripted soldiers, and he wants to phase out the clone troopers. Like, if they're not loyal, they're out. So Clone Force 99 is supposed to be killed at Kamino. They thought they were gone.
Yeah,
done.
Right.
Now, that makes me wonder what happened to Crosshair. Because did Crosshair go back with the Empire? Why wouldn't he have told them?
Right.
Did he then falsify his report and say that they were dead to cover their tracks? And what does that mean? What does that mean for his loyalty, his alliances, and all that kind of stuff? So I think that'll be interesting to kind of watch. But he freaking, Rampart shoots Wilco.
Yeah.
And I mean, this guy was
good.
He was good.
Yeah.
I mean, in a bad way, he was good.
Yeah.
Like, he was them like crazy. He had visual
very
confirmation.
Skilled, very
dutiful, loyal, official reports, rules, laws, etc. And this is where you see the dark side of the Empire, which is, I could lose my position, my rank, my status, if Grand Moff Tarkin learns that I didn't get the Bad Batch, that something happened, something leaked out at Kamino.
A little bit like the dynamic in Andor with, what's his name, who wanted to get everything right and, you know, get reports in, who was very, very strict about that. And then his boss was like,
It's
just, when Andor shot the two.
Yeah, was it the ISB agent, you mean? Yeah, no. Yeah. Oh, I know who you're talking about. Cyril.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sorry. Yeah. When he was trying to follow all the rules, it's almost like a chaotic sort of good. They're really trying to do the best that they can to whatever. It doesn't matter. They're going to religiously follow the rules and follow the protocol and whatnot. So, yeah, he seemed a lot like that as well. Whereas Rampart showed a more human side in terms of, no, I have ambition and I don't want to lose my my status.
Right.
So he kills him. But now, what do you think? I think he's going to probably go on a secret...
Send someone on
a mission, eliminate them.
Yeah.
Because if this gets back to Tarkin, he's still, if he worries enough that he's going to kill a captain, like an Imperial, one of his own, then he's going to do something pretty drastic to go after them. If it's hiring his own bounty hunters, if it's him personally going after them, whatever it might be, but they're now on his radar, not on the official reports. So that buys them some time, but I feel like he's going to figure out a way to hunt them down. So
now, you made a timeline the other day. If we're looking at the timeline, are we, so Bad Batch 1 and 2 are almost, there's no time in between, really. It just, maybe a few weeks or so,
months,
they go on missions.
Feels like,
but otherwise,
year,
we are same time as Rebels. There's Rebels a little later.
No. So this is going to be right around, I would say this has only been about a year. And I can look it up here just to see, but I would say Bad Batch Season 2 probably, you know, Omega's hair has grown out a little bit. They've seemingly been on a few missions. They've painted their armor. They've changed things around a little bit. So to me, I would feel like at max, you're a year away from Bad Batch Season 1.
Okay.
And Bad Batch Season 1 was right at starts with Order 66.
Yeah.
And it moves a few months after it.
Okay.
So I would say that is 19 BBY. So that's probably, that is still like 9 plus, just like 14 years before Andor.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And before Rebels.
Okay, so
yeah.
Everything that's happening in the Rebellion is still, you know,
That's far off. That's, it's still in its infancy. They're still understanding what it is that the Empire is doing, and they're emerging, this emerging threat. So what Echo is talking a lot about here, and maybe it's been a couple years, maybe they're going to say, hey, the timeline moved forward a couple years or something. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But I didn't hear them say anything, make any reference to time. But I feel like Echo is sort of saying, the Empire is growing. They're a threat, more issues, etc. And that's going to grow for a long time.
Yeah.
So because Obi-Wan Kenobi takes place, I believe, 10 years after Bad Batch Season 1.
Okay.
Which would be Order 66 or Episode 3, if you will. So you have that. And then you've got the Solo movie, which takes place around 13 BBY to 10 BBY.
Okay.
So those are the couple movies. We don't have a whole lot, I guess, from the time of Order 66 up until right before Kenobi.
Right.
You just really have this idea that the Empire is expanding, growing, phasing out the clone trooper, bringing in the stormtrooper, for all that to kind of take place. The Inquisitors are out and about looking and hunting for Jedi survivors.
Right.
One that we saw in the trailer for this is Gungi. Gungi's a Force sensitive who we're going to see in season two.
Okay.
Guy's lightsaber lights it up. I think they're going back to Kashyyyk, which is where
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Baka is from.
Yeah.
All the Wookiees, the Wookiee planet.
Yeah.
So that'll be really cool. And when they go back there, in Legends, there is a Jedi named Well, he's in canon, but Quinlan Voss.
Yeah.
And Quinlan Voss escapes Order 66.
Uh-huh.
He is actually, you want to hear this? So they just went to Sereno. I more than ever think Quinlan Voss is showing up in Bad Batch Season 2 because they went to Sereno, which is Count Dooku's old homeworld, his palace, his headquarters. And in the book Dark Disciple, Quinlan Voss is sent by the Jedi Council to assassinate Count Dooku to end the war. And he ends up getting turned. He ends up working with his apprentice, Asajj Ventress, falls to the dark side, comes back, and then we lose track of him in Order 66.
Oh, wow.
So the fact that we're going to Kashyyyk, and in Legends, that's where Quinlan Voss ends up, on Kashyyyk, in hiding, gets married, has a love interest, and has a child in Legends. Yeah. And then here in canon, he went to Sereno, and he worked against Count Dooku. Right there are two connections, I think, to Quinlan Voss that will matter in season two. I just have a feeling. And you have the connection of the young Jedi Gungi, who is an Order 66 survivor as well.
Yeah.
So where does he go? I mean, how does he hide?
Yeah.
What we find in the Obi-Wan Kenobi series, there's the path,
right?
And on that wall, Obi-Wan sees the name Quinlan Voss. Master Voss was here. So they're definitely doing something with him. He is a survivor. And how long, to what degree, we don't know, but it will not. He's an animated character too.
Right.
So he was really seen in Clone Wars. He shows up in episode one. He's like in the background of, he's this background character that they kind of created into a Jedi who was on some secret mission on Tatooine back in episode one. But the whole point is I think that's, we're going to get into some of that. We're going to see them helping the Empire, or I'm sorry, fighting against the Empire and helping the rebellion or just people who are, being oppressed by the Empire.
Yeah.
So maybe not like their own rebel cell or working directly with rebels, but doing something for a group of people that where they see a need and moving forward. So a lot of connections to force sensitive individuals in terms of Mount Tantus and the cloning and possibly Grogu there as well.
Yeah.
Mount Tantus is connected to an ancient, well, to a Legends Jedi named Master Darua Sabaoth.
Okay.
Who is, so there's like this Jedi who's there who works with Thrawn. And later on, it's so there's a Jedi connection in Mount Tantus, which is in Bad Batch. There's a Jedi connection in, like, they just went to see Count Dooku. We have Gungi in here as well, Quinlan Voss. I think there's going to be a lot coming out. I really think that there's going to be quite a bit in season two. This was an opener. You drop a couple of those things, they're going to be hunted, but they're going to find a group of people to sort of to help. And it might be some of these force sensitives. It might be the early stages of the path. It might be something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What are you thinking? Yeah.
How do you remember all those names from all the books and all the shows?
Yeah.
And how do you keep them apart? You know, how does Legends not merge with canon stuff in your head?
Many years of meditation. Many years of meditation.
No, very good.
No, really. I constantly am like rereading and looking stuff up and trying to figure out, you know, where things are going. One of my favorite things to do in Star Wars is to speculate.
Yeah.
So a lot of people for Bad Batch, they don't like to go week by week. Okay, come on, buddy, you know, whatever. But for me, I still think there's a lot of cool things happening here in Bad Batch Season 2 that will connect to now Kenobi, Andor, Rebels. Those are the ones beyond. So Bad Batch is like early. It's back here, and then it's we're going to connect to those other pieces, and we possibly could be connecting all the way to the Mandalorian and to the Ahsoka series. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think people. You set all that up here in your between episode 3 and episode 4 to sort of highlight what you're doing between episode 6 and episode 7.
Right.
And a lot of times when I'm talking to you, I really do wish I had like a whiteboard and a chart so I could draw.
Me too. Oh my gosh, that would be so cool. You know how there's a Tolkien professor?
Yeah.
Be the, I don't know, Lucasfilm professor. Lucasfilm professor. Something like that.
I would be down. What we'll do next time is I'll pull up a screen and I will have like sort of a... the timeline, and I can sort of click, or maybe I'll do a presentation, and I can start to kind of show you. Yeah, because I think it's helpful, right? I think it's really helpful to see these things. So that would be interesting. Now, think about something else, too. Tales of the Jedi comes out. That was the one where you had the Count Dooku backstory.
Yes.
Where he changed stuff, where he erased Kamino from the records.
Yep.
So he's closely associated with Kamino.
Right.
And it's almost like the Empire is going back now and erasing Kamino, erasing Sereno, erasing this presence of Count Dooku, which could maybe trace back to Emperor Palpatine. Emperor Palpatine is a Sith Lord, but people don't know it. That was the big secret the Jedi wanted to expose.
Yeah.
And they never were able to. They fail in that mission, and therefore the public at large sees him as an emperor surviving their attack.
Who's crazy, and his eyes are bloodshot. And
yeah, he's deformed now because of all the craziness that went down with his fight. No one even knows that fight happened.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They attacked him. It's just his story. So he's just a politician. People in his inner circle, secretly, some of them, we'll learn that he is a dark lord. He is the dark lord of the Sith. And he is Darth Sidious. So I don't know if there's anything going on there. I do definitely think he has a close eye on the Mount Tantus cloning project.
Yeah.
I think he's directly... So Grand Moff Tarkin has an audience with the Emperor and works on his top secret projects like the Death Star. They're working on that, right? And then now cloning seems to be like priority number two, which is, okay, I want a weapon that I can use to kind of control the galaxy, but I also want to... He's always been obsessed with, how do you defeat death? How do you become immortal? How do you live on? And so I think that's something he's going to be, you know, working very closely, keeping an eye on with Mount Tantus and Nala Se and her experiments and Dr. Pershing and possibly Grogu and all that stuff. So
So they're already working on the Death Star right now.
Yeah, I think it's early.
What kind of the plans? Yeah.
Actually, here's something interesting for you. In episode 2, when they show up on Geonosis, there's this battle, there's a ceremony where like Obi-Wan is chained up, Anakin's chained up in the middle, and Padme's chained up. And they're like in this arena where all the Jedi show up in episode 2. At the end of that, one of the leader, Click Clack, whatever his name is, he like grabs this little puck. And he takes it to Count Dooku, and it's this little hollow image of the Death Star plans. And you can see, you see it, and you're like, and he like hands it to Dooku. We have to keep the secret.
Yeah.
And Dooku like leaves the planet. The Clone Wars have begun. The clones show up. It's a victory for the Republic, but really, it's just a war that's been created by Palpatine.
Right.
So he's using his apprentice, Dooku, with the Separatists. It's crazy. It is crazy. So the early stages of just planning and the ideas go all the way back to the Clone Wars, which is crazy. Yeah. So then you come out of this, and once that's done, the next phase is, go into the production of it. That's why they start looking for, think like kyber crystals to power it. They need resources.
Yep.
Andor, Rogue One's all about the secret plans to the Death Star. In Andor, we saw them working on the Death Star. Components to it that would be used to for it. So top secret stuff. And then the big one is cloning. The big one is cloning though, because it all leads to Snoke. It leads to other hosts for Emperor Palpatine.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Rey Skywalker, take it for what you will, Rey Skywalker is a descendant. She's Rey Palpatine, Her father was a clone of Palpatine.
Wow.
Think about that for a second.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So we haven't got to the sequels yet. I mean, I know you've seen them once, I think, but I don't know if you've ever...
It was a long time ago, I didn't know all... I didn't have all the background knowledge that I have now.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
And we're going to watch those eventually. So just as a reminder, Lottie has seen episodes 1 through 6. We're working our way through Bad Batch. Or I'm sorry, we watched season one of Bad Batch. She has seen Andor and she has seen Rebels. We are doing a Rebels rewatch here on the podcast and dropping those, which has been a lot of fun.
I technically also have seen the first two seasons of Mandalorian.
True, you have, yes.
But
yes.
I would love to do a rewatch.
And we have to. Before March 1, we have to kind of,
really blitz through them.
I watched the first two episodes the other day and I was like, wow, it's good. Yeah. I was back in it. I was feeling it. It was great. So... yeah, lots to do, lots to kind of cover, lots to get into, but I am excited. I thought that was a good intro and a good open for Bad Batch. I really do. So I'll do some Easter eggs. There was some, you know, there wasn't a lot, but there was a couple of different things where you could see the troopers were talking and they were mimicking some of the stuff that you hear in episode 4 from Stormtroopers, which was kind of cool. So, or even from the Clone Wars, but I'll do a breakdown on that later. And in general, I just wanted to get our initial thoughts, get a quick reaction out to you guys and tell you that we watched it this morning.
Yep.
We were pumped about it and nothing is coming easy. It's only going to get harder for them.
Right.
And I think we're going to experience some loss along the way.
Yeah.
The big one is Crosshair, is whether he's going to come back or what he's doing. How are they not in his report? How did Crosshair not go back to the Empire and tell them something about the Bad Batch?
Yeah. So this, you know, the lightheartedness is going to go away for a little bit and it's gonna get tough.
Yeah, for sure. So I don't know. But anyways, fun start to our new year. It's January 4th. Wishing all of you guys a good new year out there, and we are pumped to kind of continue this. I will have over on the YouTube, I just started like a generic sort of stream that I'm throwing up there just to kind of gather, you know, comments from people. So if you have a comment and you want to go in there and leave me a comment, you want me to feature it in the video, let me know. If you want me to feature that as something standalone in the podcast, you can do that. You can send us a transmission at StarWarsHangout77@gmail.com. Over on Instagram, send me a message there. I'm pretty active there and on Twitter as well too. So, but I'm excited because we have this. We have a couple months of Bad Batch. Then The Mandalorian's coming out. Then Jedi Survivor, the video game, is coming out. And then, I believe, Ahsoka.
That's so much. I don't know.
And the Skeleton Crew.
What are we going to do, Rebels rewatch? There's so much.
We're picking like one day on the weekend. And we're just doing two a week. So we'll get through it.
We got to catch up.
Because we have to catch up.
We have to catch up before Ahsoka, right?
To be honest with you, even if it meant just binging and not recording it, and us just doing like
and
a season
later,
three.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Or us just doing like a season 3 discussion and a season 4 discussion.
Yeah.
Just to get you caught up before Mandalorian.
Yeah.
On March 1st, I would do it.
Oh, you think I should be caught up before that
happens?
Yeah,
I think you probably should. So we'll finish our season 2 sort of play-by-play, episode-by-episode.
Yeah.
And then maybe we'll do... maybe we could do season 3 in like parts 1, 2, 3, and 4, break it down into parts of 4, and record a big batch of episodes or something, like binge watch it and then do a big recording on the 5 or 10 episodes we watched or something.
There we go.
Yeah. Because I feel like when we stop sometimes, so you guys let me know too in the comments what you guys think. I feel like when we stop on that, it's a start and stop process a lot with you because we start, we stop, we record, we, you know, whatever. And I think if you were to binge season 3, you would be like, wow. I think the experience would be like...
Let's do that.
So okay, we'll do that then. That'll help us kind of speed through things. In February we'll start dropping those, and then in March we'll continue through with the season 2 stuff. I think we have like 8 episodes left or so, maybe 10 with season 2. So yeah, it's exciting. All right, friends, hey, don't forget to follow our other podcast, Shell Cottage Radio. We just recorded an episode the other day there. We have friends coming on that episode. We've had guests there. We're gonna have guests on this episode, not this episode unless they're force ghosts around here that I don't see. But we will have guests on the show. I've lined up a few people. Really, Mandalorian is when I think I want to start bringing people on and chatting and stuff. We will be doing our early morning reaction. And then if I do any guest appearances or whatever, we'll be like following up later in the week when it's like a good time to get people on, not 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, hey,
it's
for crazy. Some, if you go to different time zones, if we talk to someone in Germany, they'd be up by now.
True. They'd be solid.
Like 10,
they'd be excited.
11 in the morning. Yeah.
I know. I did have coffee. We'll be more alert next week. I think we're getting used to this. It's a little groggy this morning. My voice has also been shot for like a good while. So,
yeah.
Anyway, all right, friends. Well, hey, thank you guys so much. We appreciate you guys. If you want to support the podcast, you can support us over on Patreon. Extra episodes, all that good stuff are coming. And I'll be doing some breakdowns over on the YouTube channel. So be sure to subscribe over yonder.
Yeah, support the Lucasfilm Professor.
The Lucasfilm Professor, yes. All right.
You got to come up with a better name.
For right now, I like it. All right. Thanks so much, friends. You guys have a great day. And as always, may the Force
be with you.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.